I don't know about you. I want no part in some church that began in 1517.
Pastor Will Whedon speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I mean, I am not interested in it. Why would I be? I want the church that began with Jesus Christ, which was founded by his apostles, and in which the teachers of the church continued to teach for centuries. I want to be part of that church. And the self-understanding of the Lutheran church is that we are the Catholic Church of the West.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's entire presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran Approach to the Church Fathers, and teachings by Paul Meyer, Chris Roseborough, Jonathan Fisk, Molly Hemingway, and David Menton on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
I'm happy that my faith influences my political position because my faith teaches me to care for the needy. My faith teaches me to respect and love even my enemies. My faith teaches me to forgive those who slight me.
Pictures change how people feel about abortion. Facts and arguments change how they think, and both are vital for changing behavior.
The Democratic Party watching out for the corporate interests of the abortion industry, we don't protect any other corporation as a party, so this should be no different.
Where do we find Jesus and how do we get in touch with him? And the contention of the scriptures is that Jesus comes to us by means of that word which is preached and the sacraments which we receive.
New dads like listening to Issues Etc.
I know how I perceived those first Planned Parenthood videos. I know what they looked like to me. Now we're up to 6 videos. Watching them is painful for anyone who has a conscience or even any sense of decency or humanity. Okay. I perceive them from the perspective of someone who had just found out maybe a week before that I'm going to be a grandfather and anticipating the life that is growing my daughter's womb and the baby on the way, all of those kinds of things. I say very proudly, I am a grandfather, and watching these Planned Parenthood videos just shakes me to my core. Now, I've had children, now grandchildren. What about someone who can't, who hasn't, who wants desperately to have a child or children, and at least at this point, still can't? How do they see those Planned Parenthood videos? We're going to get an answer to that question here on this Thursday afternoon, August the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Katie Schuerman's going to join us. She is author of a book called He Remembers the Baron, and she's recently written a column for The Federalist titled How an Infertile Couple Experiences the Planned Parenthood Videos. We'll talk about a barren couple's perspective on those graphic images and those revelations. A little bit later, we'll be doing Christ in the Old Testament, our ongoing series with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Proverbs chapter 9, The Way of Wisdom. We'll find Christ in there as well. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us for a barren couple's perspective on the undercover Planned Parenthood videos, Katie Schuerman, a Lutheran pastor's wife in Sherman, Illinois, author of the book He Remembers the Baron, and also author of a recent column in The Federalist titled How an Infertile Couple Experiences the Planned Parenthood Videos. Katie, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
What were your initial reactions as husband and wife sitting down and watching what you could of these 6 videos that have been released from the insides of Planned Parenthood?
I'm pretty sure we watched them separately. I know when I was looking at it myself, I remember starting to shake, physically shake, and not because I'm this great, compassionate person. It's because I was looking upon the corpse, I think probably corpses, actually, of people. And I was hearing them being talked about as if they weren't people, but then being talked about as if they were. My initial reaction was, how in humanity have we come to a point where we ignore the humanity of our neighbors to serve ourselves, but then acknowledge the humanity when it serves ourselves. In other words, where have we come to a point where we will murder unborn children and deny their personhood, but then acknowledge their personhood in having organs and sex, you know, being a boy or a girl, when it serves us financially? I had trouble actually finishing the video. And then my husband and I, when he got home from church that night, we stood in the kitchen, and he's not only my husband, he's also my pastor. And so we just I remember leaning against the counter and having trouble not vomiting, because as we were talking, I was overwhelmed with a sensation of, oh no, these are actually the children we pray for every night. When we ask God to give us the gift of children, whether it be through conception or through adoption, these are children who need adopted, and they are not given that option. And I believe in that moment, I felt like I was their mother.
So as an infertile couple, you have, there's a perspective here, an injury done here, obviously to the victims of abortion, but to you and to countless other couples who long to have children, that really, I don't think other people who have kids, especially those who perpetrate these kind of things, could possibly understand. What are your thoughts there?
Maybe they can. Maybe they've been given the gift of compassion where where I'm assuming that there are married couples who've been blessed with the gift of children who would be just as willing to adopt these children as we are. Maybe where we have a special insight or a special sensitivity is that we can't ignore in our daily lives just how precious the gift of children is, because it has been withheld from us. And in our longing and in our turning to our Lord and asking Him for that gift of children, we are also daily disciplined in being reminded of the fact that we are not guaranteed that gift, and therefore it is all the more precious to us. And I should state that even these children who have been killed, we are not guaranteed that we would get to adopt them either. But I do know in my heart that we are willing to. And should it be His will that we be parents of those children, we would welcome that.
Now, we're talking here not just about what's been revealed of late to Planned Parenthood as to Planned Parenthood's activities. We're talking about 40 plus years of, if not the sale of baby body parts, certainly the horrific procedure, abortion, that leads to this kind of stuff on the part of Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
What is your kind of longer term perspective on that? We're talking about estimates approaching 60 million.
I cannot fathom it. And what those videos force us to do is to fathom it in real time. And, you know, when we look at statistics on paper, we can somewhat disassociate with a number. But here's what I think. We in America are belligerent in our persistence to view unborn children as property instead of people. And we legally and socially treat them as property. We treat them as property to be kept or transferred or donated or stored or frozen or bought or sold or, in this case, disposed of. And the truth, though, is these children are not property, whatever the law says. These children are people. They're people who live in a community, and we are part of that community. And when we in our community view the corpses of our dead, we cannot be unaffected. What I think horrifying is, as is true of all community, we look around and realize we actually are all affected in different ways. Some of us grieve. Some of us are shamed. Some of us are moved to repentance. And some of us harden our hearts and turn away and say, I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and therefore I will perpetuate this lie that this person is actually property, and I will treat it as such.
What do you say to pro-choice men and women who simply refuse to watch the videos?
I know what they say to me. They say to me, you have no right to have a reaction to these children because you have not adopted a child yet yourself, and there are other children living today who are in need of a home. And I understand there's a fundamental difference in our view of children, and that's that I do believe and confess that God gives the gift of children through conception and adoption. And I know that however much I will to have a child through conception, I cannot gift myself a child through conception. And I do believe the same is true of adoption. As much as I will to be an adoptive parent, I cannot, by my will alone, make an adoption. We live in a country where there are, you know, different laws, and some of them very appropriately there, to protect children, in place that make it so that not every couple is given the opportunity to adopt a child. And so I know that pro-choicers would say to me, you are a hypocrite. And I would say to them, I would like to adopt those children should I be given the opportunity to, just as I would like to adopt any other child should I be given the opportunity to. And I would like you to have the opportunity to look on these corpses with me and acknowledge that it is a boy with a heart and legs and hands and a brain. And we have done this to him. And he has never been given the right to life in this country, though our government documents say that he should, because he is a person. But you would deny him being a person so that you don't have to protect him. And I would ask them to look on his corpse and to at least acknowledge the dead.
I think that there's something there in what you just said that has, it's been a running theme. You know, I've been talking about abortion and all of the ancillary issues for 17 years on this show. And the term that is mentioned often, but I don't know if we explore it enough, is that term protection, the one you just used. All we're really asking, Katie, is that these children be protected, that given a chance, so to brill, not so to speak, given a chance to be adopted. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me that somebody who says, well, if you don't adopt yourself, then that you have no right to speak on the fact that people would abort their children and participate in this. This is kind of a brutally deadly logic that's at work here, but simply to respond and say, but can't we agree to protect these children, to give them a chance to be adopted by whomever? What do you think?
I think ultimately probably the point of the article that I wrote is to point out the lie, the persistent lie, that these children are repeatedly, the unborn are killed under the banner of that they are unwanted, that somehow we'll call them the property owners, the person who has this child inhabited in their womb, they have decided they do not want this child for whatever reason, therefore it does not have the right to live. And the point of my article is to point out, but actually they are wanted by someone. And to tie their value of life to someone's wanting them, it is a false notion to allow them to be killed, because they are wanted. And I would like people to at least acknowledge the fact that is a dumb lie. Why do we even say it? It's just dumb.
What would you say to someone who's in exactly the same boat that you and your husband are in, another infertile couple, who says, look, I know what the videos have in them. I've read about them. I've heard my friends talk about them. I can't look at them.
I would say that's okay. I think you can know that something is horrible without actually seeing the image of it. And I do think probably, as you were saying before, maybe the Barren have a special sensitivity to that because their children are dead. If they have been given the gift of children in their own womb, they are dead now. And you know, they have, you know, some post-traumatic stress with that. And I don't know that they need to see the image of a dead child to know that it is awful. I would say to them, turn to our Lord, who promises to carry our burdens and the burdens of others. He encourages us to cast our burdens onto him. And then he promises to work all things for our good and for the good of our neighbor. And so we in faith turn to him again and we cry out, Lord, have mercy. And then I would encourage those couples, you know, as best they can, to pray for their enemies, for those who would kill the children that they would love to adopt, and ask that God would move their heart to repentance and faith, that they might also be able to recognize the personhood of the unborn. And then I would also encourage those people, to speak on behalf of those children. Even if they don't view the image of the corpse, they can speak out on their behalf. And otherwise, we'd acknowledge that they're people and that they're a part of our community, and we treat them as such.
Katie, before we let you go, you have written another novel. This one's called The Choir Immortal. What's in this one?
And you know, this book actually deals a lot with the personhood of the unborn and with the personhood of the elderly and the personhood of all generations in the church, and that we are all baptized into the same Christ, into his death and resurrection, and therefore we are tied one into another in an eternal community. And what a precious, wonderful thing life is, and what a gift it is that God gives it for us to share with one another. And so it's about life in the church and how we bear with one another in love in life and in death.
Folks, you can find out more about the novel The Choir Immortal by Katie Schuurman at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also pre-order this novel by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called The Choir Immortal. Katie Schuurman is a pastor's wife in Sherman, Illinois, author of the book He Remembers the Barren, and she's written a recent column for The Federalist titled How an Infertile Couple Experiences the Planned Parenthood Videos. We'll have a link to that as well at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Katie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. We're going to do our series with him, Christ in the Old Testament today, Proverbs chapter 9, The Way of Wisdom. He says that Jesus is the key to the entire book of Proverbs. We'll find out why and how after this.
I like being female, and I have never felt even remotely bad about being female. I don't know if that's because I've always steadfastly avoided women's magazines, which I think are just designed to make you feel bad.
Journalist Molly Ziegler-Hemingway speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
But I've always known that being female is pretty awesome. And the only time it actually occurs to me to even feel remotely bad about it is when feminists start telling me that I'm doing everything wrong. And I think it's so interesting that feminists have such a problem with these traits that we do associate with women a little bit more. Feminists are on this campaign to make women more like men.
You can listen to Molly's presentation, Making the Case for the Differences Between Men and Women, and teachings by Paul Meyer, David Menton, Will Whedon, Chris Roseborough, and Jonathan Fisk on an audio DVD from the 2015 Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 before Labor Day. Just click the DVD logo at issuesztc.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. Classicalspecialneeds.com.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.